Exodus 25, verses 31 through 40, to begin with. Let us together hear the word of God. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And there shall be six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of the one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch. And three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms, with their calyxes and flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it, under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of one piece with it, and the whole of it shall be a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamp shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be made of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold. And see that you make them under after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. Let us also turn to chapter 27, verses 20 and 21. You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn in the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever, to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel. And finally, in chapter 37, the parallel text that speaks of the actual construction, chapter 37, verses 17 through 24. He, that is Bezalel, also made the lampstand of pure gold. He made the lampstand of hammered work. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers were of one piece with it. And there were six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch, and three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and a flower on the other branch. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself were four cups made like almond blossoms, with their calyxes and flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out of it. Their calyxes and their branches were of one piece with it. The whole of it was a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. And he made it seven lamps and its tongs and its trays of pure gold. He made it and all its utensils out of a talent of pure gold. So far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and friends, once again, this Lord's Day, we come, as it were by faith, to the tabernacle of the Israelites, the tent of meeting. The tabernacle, the great large structure, a big tent that existed in the midst of the Israelite camp, also called the tent of meeting because that is exactly what its purpose was. It was to be a place in which God met with his people, a place where they would meet with him. We've seen already that wonderful theme. But yet we come again to this tabernacle. We come up to its outer curtain, the curtain of the courtyard. Large white curtain surrounding the entirety of the courtyard in which was the tabernacle itself. As we make our way through the camp, we come to that white curtain. We are permitted as lay people to go beyond the screen, the veil, the entrance door. As we walk into that courtyard, the first thing that we see, our eyes are lifted up to heaven because there's a great bronze altar upon which but sacrifices were made. Pointing us upward, of course, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the eternal Spirit offered up Himself once and for all, sprinkling even the heavenly places. We then are permitted to go beyond that to a bronze basin, a little washing pool, where the priests would clean themselves to be ritually purified before God. We could see that. We could touch it. But as we've already said, the first curtain into the actual tabernacle itself separates us. Even though we are the holy people of God, the kingdom of priests, the holy nation, we are separated as lay people from our priests. They can go into that holy place. In that holy place, the first room, there were three pieces of furniture. We saw last Lord's Day, if we were to walk in there together and look upon our right-hand side, we would see a small little table. Upon it was the showbread, the bread of the presence. Two piles of six loaves, along with utensils and bowls and pitchers for drink offerings of wine and incense and frankincense to make it smell beautiful and to be appealing to God. On our left today, we want to pause and think about what's called the lampstand, what we might know as the menorah. The seven-branched lampstand, a large candlestick, as it were, to give light, as chapter 27 described, to give light with pure beaten olive oil, to give light to all that was before it regularly, to be tended to by the priests every single day, from morning to evening, they would tend to the lamp to give them light. We'll see fairly soon in front of the next veil, between holy and most holy place, is the altar of incense, upon which every morning and every evening the people of God, through their priests, worshipped in the holy place. On our left, then, we see this lampstand. Now, children, before we move on and look at our story and our text today, let me ask you a very simple question. The question is this. Why do we need light? Why do we need light? Well, we need light, as you know, because we can't see very well in the dark. We can see shadows and outlines. Maybe you in your own bedroom at night, if you close the door and you don't even have a night light, you might have memorized where your bed is at and where your furniture is at. You might be able to navigate that room in the dark, but think about a room in which you've never gone to. There's no lamp. There's no light. There's no switch to turn. It's pure darkness. Children, we need light because we need to see. We can't see without it. If we were even outside, we would need lights. Sure, we have street lights today, but we would need, if we were out camping, a lantern or a torch or even a big bonfire, something to give us direction. Our story today is about a large lampstand. It's not a lampstand that you have, which has light bulbs in it, but it's sort of like a candlestick, a tall candlestick. And from that large candlestick, there were six other sticks that came out. And at the top of each is a little bowl, and that bowl was olive oil. And that olive oil had a wick in it, and it would burn. It would cause light to shine. Our story today is about that piece of furniture that stood at the south side of the holy place, the left-hand side as you would walk into the holy place beyond the veil. And it gave light. It gave light to the priests so that they could offer the bread, that they could offer the incense, that they could pour the wine, that they could serve and minister and pray, that they could be a pastor for you, the people, that they would pray on your behalf for you in that place, and not just when the sun was up during the day, but all the days and all the hours and all the months in which they lived in the wilderness. This Lord's Day, we want to think about that tabernacle and think about that lampstand. We want to enter beyond that screen into the holy place. We do so as Christians, of course, in which the veil has been torn already once and for all by Jesus Christ. But we want to see by faith what this lampstand is all about, how it points us beyond itself to Jesus Christ. and to ourselves. Imagine that lampstand and look at it with me from three vantage points in three ways. First of all, this lampstand of gold gave light to see the Savior. It gave light to see the Savior. Secondly, it gave light to see salvation. It gave light to see salvation. And finally, it gave light to see service. This light then enabled the Israelites, and it enabled us by faith to see the Savior, salvation, and service. May the Holy Spirit give us those eyes to see today. Well, as we look at that lampstand by faith today, we see in the first place that it gave light to see the Savior. Now, we know that they needed some source of light in order for them to minister in the evening hours of the day. The sun would not only go down, and the reflecting light of the moon would not be sufficient because the tabernacle was an enclosed room. The curtains completely enclosed it. The only light from the outside that was available to it would be the light that would peer through in a little burst of sunlight through an entranceway if a priest was to go beyond the veil into the first room. It was dark. It was enclosed. There were no windows. There were no light bulbs. No electricity, children, like we have. It was dark. And the priests, of course, needed to serve. They needed some way to see. They couldn't bounce around off the walls. They couldn't knock things over. This is a holy place. To be in the presence of God, children, is to be in the holy presence of God. God is with us even now. God is in our midst. He's amongst us. That's why worship is so serious. We can't be unserious. We have to listen. Church is not the time for us to play. We shouldn't be taking naps. We shouldn't be wandering off. God is in our midst. Just as He was there with the priests, they needed to see that they might serve. Now, the lampstand that God gives, notice, is commanded by God Himself. God sees their need for some light for them to serve Him in the evening hours, and so He commands Moses to create a lampstand, which Bezalel, the gifted man by the Holy Spirit, creates. Notice what verse number 40 says about the lampstand as well as the rest of the furniture that Moses has written down so far. Verse number 40, "See that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain." This detail then mattered to God. The details of it being made out of one piece of gold, a talent of gold, the text says. It's all made out of one piece. It's hammered out of one large block of gold. And God is so prescriptive, He's so concerned about the details of His worship that He even describes how each branch was to look. Almond blossoms, calyxes, cups, flowers, and so forth. It couldn't be made as they would like it to be made. God commanded them to make it, and even to make it so clear to Moses that he must follow the pattern that he saw upon the mountain. He must follow the heavenly pattern. Again, this shows us God's concern. It shows us God desires beauty and glory in His presence. It shows us that His worship must be done according to His word and in no other way alone. But ultimately, the lampstand's light points beyond itself. Points us, and it gives them light to see the Savior. Inside the tabernacle, it was like being in heaven. Children, what does heaven look like? Well, we can get a glimpse of what heaven looks like by looking in the tabernacle. There were red and purple and blue colored curtains that covered the whole inside. And upon those curtains were engraved cherubim, angels. The wood that God commanded to be made, the floor itself was a brilliant silver, and the poles covered in gold, the rings pure gold. They would see the veil in front of the Holy of Holies with a large cherubim upon it. It was like being in heaven. The smoke from the incense altar must have filled the tabernacle with a cloud, the same sort of cloud, the same kind of glory that the Israelites could see up upon Mount Sinai, where Moses met with God. For God spoke to Moses face to face. God is in that cloud. Inside the tabernacle, it was like heaven. He was teaching them then that in heaven itself, just like in the creation, there is a great light, the sun, to give us light. In heaven itself, there was a light, but that light is no creation. The light is God Himself. The light is the Lord Himself who shines. There is no need of sun and moon. Revelation 22 describes a new creation. For the Lord God and Lamb are its lights. There is no need for a created light. Their own glory and brilliance shine enough. The lampstand pointed the Israelites, the fact that their light could only come from the Lord Himself. They could only see aright to their Savior in the light of God Himself. And in no other way. They saw the pillar of fire. Every night as they wandered in the wilderness, they saw a pillar of cloud by day, but at night it was a brilliant fire. It was the Lord Himself. The Lord is His people's light and their salvation. Whom shall I fear? All throughout the Psalms, for example, we read of the light that the Lord is. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all, 1 John. But in the psalmist, we read that God Himself is the light. He Himself is the lamp of His people. What the tabernacle expressed in a very visible way, the psalmist used in poetry and in prayers and in songs to express what God is. Listen to these psalms. I'll give you a selection of them. The psalmist says this, when we are in distress, because of our enemies. The psalmist says in Psalm 4, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. When we are afraid, children, we can pray with confidence. And we'll sing this in just a few minutes. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I fear? We can pray in confidence because God is the one who gives us light when we feel like we are in the darkness. We can contrast our lives with the lives of the wicked. Although the ungodly may have much more than we have in this life, we can contrast our lives with them, praying, for with You, O Lord, is the fountain of life. In Your light do we see light. When the world accuses you of being wicked, when the devil accuses you of being way too sinful, when your own sinful flesh whispers in your ear, God can't save you. You can pray with Psalm 43, vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. The Lord is the light. When we look back upon our salvation, just as the Israelites could look back upon their receiving the promised land, we should pray like this, Psalm 44. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. Finally, in Psalm 89, when we come to worship, when we assemble together on the Lord's Day in the presence of God Himself, when we come together in the presence of God's holiness, we can pray like David. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of Your face. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? He is the stronghold of my life. That lampstand pointed them to the Lord Himself. He enlightened their darkness. Did not John, the apostle, the evangelist, the one whom Jesus loved, who reclined upon our Lord's breast at the table, did not he speak of our Lord and Savior, saying that when he came into the world, this light shines in the darkness? But just as God said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light, separating it from light and separating light from darkness, so too when Christ came to earth, when our Savior came, he shines in the darkness. The darkness of sin and depravity and the world. And did not our Lord Jesus Christ himself say, I am the light of the world? Did he not point to himself and not to the lights of the temple and the feasts and the festivals, but to himself saying, I am the light of the world? The lampstand pointed the priests and the Israelites, as the Israelites began to understand by their priests' preaching and teaching. They were pointed to the Lord himself that gave them the light of the Savior. That there would be a day to come in which there would be no need for a light. There would be no need for a lampstand amongst the people, for the Lord himself would come, the Messiah, the Savior, would step upon earth. He would come down from that holy mountain, that cloud would be unveiled, and our Lord himself would come and lead and bring salvation. Secondly, then, it gave them the light of salvation. The lampstand pointed them to the Lord himself, who is the Savior. But secondly, it pointed them to a truth not just that was to come. Not just that the lampstand pointed them to the Savior to come someday in a far-off future, but it gave them light for then and now. It gave them understanding and truth for their time and place. It gave them a way to see their own salvation. It taught them that just as the priests could not minister in the tabernacle without the Lord's light, so too we cannot see the Lord without Him enlightening our hearts and our souls. That light that burned there taught them that they could do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing, our Lord says. The lampstand pointed them to that. Without the lampstand, there would be no service. Without its light, the priests cannot do their work. Without the Lord, there is no salvation. Now you see, loved ones, although we are born with our eyes opened, we are born with our eyes blinded. Children, although you are born with eyes that can see, you were born with the eyes of your heart blinded by the darkness of your own sins. Children, think about that for a moment. Think about darkness. When you stand in the dark, what do you see? You don't see much, do you? If there's a crack in the window in your bedroom, you might see some light. If you, like I said earlier, memorize where all your things are in your room, you might see their outline and their shadow. But children, to stand in darkness is to see nothing. And it even, for many of us, is to be afraid of the dark. All of us are born like that. All of us are born spiritually in a situation just like that. We can't see. We can't find our way to God by ourselves. And even those little glimmerings of light that might come in through your curtains in your bedroom or through the underneath the door leading into your room. Although those can't give you enough, so too even the glimmerings of God's glory and His perfections and His existence in the creation around us, we try to keep that light out. We close the curtain. We stuff a pillow underneath the door. We in our sinfulness are so sinful that even the light God Himself gives us, we suppress it. We don't want it. We reject it. We rebel against it. All of us were born without the ability to find God. We were born without any light in our eyes, without any light in our souls, with no way to save ourselves. All of us born as dark as the night, depraved and sinful. And the lampstand there in the holy place, taught the Israelites that they were by nature themselves darkened. They were themselves in need of the Lord's light to shine upon them that they might be saved. Without it, again, they could do nothing within the tabernacle. We need the Lord to enlighten us. Listen to how Paul describes our situation in sin in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. He says this to us, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." Listen to those words again. Futility. Darkened. Alienated, ignorance, hardness, callous, sensuality, greedy, impurity. That is what it means to be in darkness. The world is in that darkness, Paul says. We once were in that darkness, the apostle reminds us. We need to have our eyes opened by God because they are so blind and so dead, that apart from Him, they can see nothing. The lampstand was a visual reminder to the Israelites that they were by nature dark. They were by nature sinful. That they were by nature alienated. That they were no different than the nations around them. That God Himself was the one who chose and saved them. The lampstand showed them the way to salvation. The Lord Himself, the one who is the light of the world. It reminded them, it taught them, it teaches us that we must be regenerated. What does that mean? We must be given new life. We must be, as Jesus said, born again. We can't, in our state in which we are born into, outside of Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, the Apostle Paul says. We must be regenerated by God Himself. We need the Holy Spirit to give us a new life. Else we are dead. We must be converted, the light of the lampstand taught them. We must be utterly changed, 180 degrees. We must go from serving idols to serving the true and living God. We must be transformed and given a U-turn upon life. We must be utterly different. There's one way to receive that. There's only one way to have that happen. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who Himself called Himself the light of the world. Must shine upon your soul. He must enlighten your eyes, or else you cannot see Him. He must change your heart, or else you will not serve Him. He must break your stubbornness, or else you will serve yourself. In John 8, verse 12, in which Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," He goes on to say this, "Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus Christ is that light. He is the answer. He is the one which we must follow, which we must embrace, and the one we must believe in. He is the one who leads us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Paul described it like this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we once were, and the world is now, in a situation like this. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. They can hear it. You can see the Bible. You can read the words upon a page, but the gospel is veiled to you if you are outside of Jesus Christ. The reason why is this: the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Satan himself has blinded your mind to keep them from seeing the light, the gospel of the glory of Christ. Well, how then shall anyone be saved? If all are blinded, if all have the gospel veiled to them, if the devil is the God of the world and the devil keeps people from believing in Christ, how shall anyone be saved? How can anyone be regenerated, converted, enlightened? For God who said, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, "For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shown in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Pray that God would convert you. Pray that God would restore you. "Restore us, O God. Let your face shine and we shall be saved," the psalmist prayed. Pray that Jesus Christ would shine in your hearts, as Paul said, to give your eyes light and truth. Let that light and truth lead you to the holy hill, Psalm 43. The lampstand then pointed them to the Savior. The lampstand pointed the priests and points us to salvation. Only the Lord can give salvation. We must simply pray that He would give it to us, and when He offers it, to receive it. His light is offered to our blinded eyes today. Let us receive and embrace it. And finally, for those who came to understand themselves to be living in darkness, whose eyes had been enlightened, for those of us who have embraced the gospel, for those of us with whom Christ has dealt with and He's shown in our hearts to see the gospel as it is and true, He's removed the veil from our eyes. We come to see that lampstand as the Israelites did, as a picture of service. For those who have been struck by their sinfulness, who have been struck by their own blindness, who come to see the light, there's no other response than service. There's no other response than being overwhelmed with grace and with gratitude. There's no other response than to take that light, as it were, and to serve others with that light. To bring it to them who are blinded. Remember, there were all the Israelites in the wilderness, 2 to 3 million of them, in a large encampment. Everywhere outside the camp was described as unholy and unclean. The world was out there. The pagans, the heathen, the nations. Those who came to see the gospel in that lampstand were then called, as the Israelites were, to serve the nations, to let their light shine that the nations might be saved. God's intention was never only to save one ethnic people, the Israelites. They're the beginnings of a salvation plan. They were the centerpiece of His redemption, to bring from them to the rest of the world the gospel of Christ. Listen to how the prophets describe this. Later on in the history of salvation, the prophets pick up this language of God being a light and a lampstand. And we read the best example of this in Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 3. Listen to how the prophet describes Israel as being a light. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." It's speaking here about Christ, of course. But yet it is the people, it is the church, it is Israel, of whom it is said, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, the Israelites, and His glory will be seen upon you, the church. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." We see this little by little in the Old Covenant as Gentiles begin to cling to the God of the Israelites. But we see it in its fullness in Jesus Christ, in which one little lampstand in one little room amidst one nation's tabernacle, that veil is torn, that light now shines across the world. And just as the Israelites were to shine, And to bring the nations to that light to see Christ, so too it is with us. Does not John describe for us in Revelation chapter 1? Does not Jesus himself, the exalted, resurrected Savior, describe the fact that he walks amongst the lampstands? John says in Revelation 1 verse 20, the lampstands are the seven churches. Jesus Christ walks amongst his church. His church is described as a lampstand. The same lampstand that was there in the tabernacle, burning brightly, regularly, from evening to morning, providing light for those to serve, providing a way of salvation. And those lampstands were to burn. You are the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ said. You see, then that lampstand was a picture of servants. How the church of Jesus Christ, how those who were once in darkness but who have seen a great light, those whose eyes were once blind but now who see, a picture that they must then serve, that they must then be overwhelmed by the fact that they now can see, that they must leap for joy as we read the gospel accounts of those who were lame and mute and blind and even dead. That we who have been raised from our sins, who have been given light, who have been given eyes to see Christ in the gospel, must be overwhelmed by grace and then serve. May the nations see our light. May we live godly lives. We must live lives of holiness. We must ever be prepared to give an answer to those who ask us, 1 Peter chapter 3 says. We must live lives that are dedicated to the gospel of Christ, in which that light is seen, in which that light is evident. We must ourselves, as Paul described, be like living epistles, the gospel written upon us, that can be seen upon us and be heard from us. May that lampstand then burn brightly in this place. May its light teach us about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. May it teach us about our salvation, that we are blinded by sin, but only the Lord Himself can save us. May we pray for that. And may we pray that more would come. May we pray that we ourselves would burn. That we ourselves would be bright, that our light would not be a stumbling block, but that our light would be a means of regeneration and conversion for the nations. Amen. Shall we turn together in the Blue Psalter hymnal if we want to respond?